The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here with the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we talk about God's nature, and we talk a lot about that, too. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you want to meet up with me today, and I've sent a bunch of tickets out to some folks, the National Outdoor Show in Cambridge is where you'll find us. We'll be in one of the rooms there measuring up white-tailed deer and sika deer and black bears for Bucks, Bears, Stags next record book in 2026. So I met a lot of nice people there last night. Gave an award away to David Seacott for the first Big Game Triple Slam Award for having three animals in the record book. This is the second one we gave away, a black bear that he took in Garrett County, a sika deer from Dorchester County, and a whitetail deer also from Dorchester County, all measured for the record book, all made it. Therefore, he qualified for the Triple Slam. Incredibly and uniquely, he killed them all with a .58 caliber flintlock muzzleloader. How about that? So quite an accomplishment for the record book and for David. So congrats go out to him. That was our second one. Derek Steyer killed our first one we ever did, but they were from a variety of different weapons all over the state as well. So we will we'll be there measuring deer and sika deer and black bears if any of them show up. We measured the new number 3 right now, sika stag. That'll be on our Facebook page. We ordered a new we measured the new number 5. Non-typical whitetail for a youth, several youth entries. So that worked out well, and those are all sponsored. We have great sponsors for our youth hunters that will enable us to not charge them because the cost of the entries, which is only $10 for a youth, is covered by the sponsors. So that was good, good to see those. If you are listening and you want to get a deer measured, just go on the website, bucks-bears-stags.com, Bucks, Bears, Stags, that's what we do, that's what we measure, and hit the Request a Measure button, and that'll open up a form. You fill out the information on your deer and send it in. We'll send you our list of measures, and we'll be good to go. Okay, here's our number, 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM 680. Glenn from Chestertown is on the line. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Okay, I guess. If things work out right, I might be getting down there today.
Well, that'd be great, man. That'd be great. We'd love to see you. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see you. Yeah. So, do you have my cell phone?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I'll send you. I have yours. I'll send you a text here in a minute to remind you. Just give me a call when you get in, when you get parked, and I'll meet you before you get in the door. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hope you make it.
Yeah, you're. It's what?
Here, I'll send you a text right.
382.
I don't give that out over the air most of the time, but yep, that's it. You got it. You got the right number. Okay. That's all right. No, it's on the website. It's on all of our websites, so it's out there publicly, but it's I don't normally just speak it out. So, but we're good. No, we're good. So All right, man. Yeah, sounds good. Just give me a call before you walk in. I'll meet you outside.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. Sounds good.
I better tell Rob I said hi.
I'll do that. She'll be there.
All right. You're okay.
All right, man. Thanks, Glenn. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's talk to Lee. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Alan, I'm doing good.
Good.
I appreciate the couple tickets.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. Absolutely.
Yep, yep. I did, what homework I could do on the
okay.
Catch and release, but the...
I saw you sent me... That looks like Rudy's study. Rudy Lukakovich. He did that hook and release study on the flats. They caught the fish. They put them on. They put them in the big circle nets. Watched them. Mm-hmm. Made sure on the mortality. But it was a hooking mortality versus deep hooking versus circle hooks versus J hooks versus bait. All that stuff.
It was done during when we could use. Use bait, right. That was something they removed from catch and release, which I'm really,
yeah.
It was great. And another thing it removed is, it removed probably 70-80% of the anglers. Once they went to no bait,
yep.
The fishery just, the interest really just dropped off tremendously.
Yeah.
That's where today it's, I'd have to say it's maybe one-tenth of what it historically was as far as what I saw in the Susquehanna River and flats as far as users. Very few people. So we're a small minority for sure.
Got it.
Which is a tremendous fishery, as you probably saw for those couple pictures I sent
yep.
you.
Yep.
But, what I'm gathering, the young of the year, okay, our fish move, okay?
Yep, and no question.
The accuracy, I have no science to relate this to. I'm not a biologist.
Right.
But the fish move, and every year, I'm assuming that where they do these surveys, from what I'm told, is the same place, same time every year. So... Okay, they spawn in a spot area number X, and this historically for so many years, but now is number X moved to number Y? You know, is it
right.
Are they spawning? Are these net surveys accurate to the extent of where these fish actually? Spawn every year, and the time, and the water temp, and you know, there's a lot of changes going on in our environment.
No question.
Obviously, affect our fish, deer, you know, everything, and us. But
well,
it's interesting that okay, they do change, so we got to. It's very difficult for me to understand how they can base a lot of our. Management
based
management
on the young of the year?
Correct. And that's where I'm coming from, because I've been doing catch and release.
Sure.
Since I was 17, it was made a season. I think Tim made a good point. Since 5 years ago, this catch and release started, I blame even having catch and release on the internet and magazines and whatnot, you know,
yeah.
Showing of fish and all that. I think you probably agree with that too. I hope.
I do.
But it's I hate to lose it, and you again you know where I'm coming from. But
I do.
The thing is we talked briefly about is handling and
right.
I don't want to see catch and release. Unfortunately. Catch and release is done when the season comes in.
Right.
You know, the kill season when we can keep fish. And
right.
Not the best thing to see, and especially in the warm water months. So that's something to look at.
Well, of course, yeah.
But I'm
that's why they close it. That's why they close it in July and don't allow you to catch and release or target striped bass during that 2 weeks closed season. Let me read something here, if you would, from the Young of the Year press release. This came out October 12th of last year, and anybody can go on the DNR website and find this. Striped bass spawning activity is temperature driven, and historically adult fish migrated to the Chesapeake Bay to spawn in April and May, which aligned with seasonal arrival of zooplankton and other microscopic food sources that larval striped bass eat. However, recent winters have produced less than average snowfalls in the region and therefore less snowmelt to cool the rivers and streams where striped bass spawn. Research has also shown that spring zooplankton production in the bay is being altered by the warmer winters. Fishery scientists are continuing to investigate whether higher temperatures early in the year are affecting the survivability of juvenile striped bass. See, I don't blame it all on catch and release. We have an altered system. Everybody knows there's not as much snow as there was years ago when I was a kid. I mean, you know, we snowed from end of October to middle March. So despite the challenges striped bass face, historic spawning data have shown the ability of the overall striped bass population to increase quickly under the right environmental conditions. The species can have several years of poor recruitment followed by a productive spawning year that can bolster the overall population long term. And on it goes. And then it says, later, biologists captured more than 47,000 fish of 63 different species while conducting the 2023 survey. Encouraging results were documented regarding two species lower on the food chain. Menhaden abundance was the highest measured in over 30 years. Well, that's a food source for the adult fish. Bay anchovy abundance was the highest measured since 1974. Which is also an adult food source. These species are very important to the ecology of the bay as a food source for many other species of fish and wildlife. But keep this in mind. You got menhaden out there at an all-time high, which are alewives. You've got bay anchovies out there, which are at an all-time high. They're also competing for the zooplankton that the baby striped bass, the fry, compete for. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So it's all climate and food related too. Are we adding another layer of that, another chapter to the book, so to speak, with the catch and release fishery?
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, the catch and release is being attacked right now by the non-users and the obviously the fellows that, you know, the people that have been charters that have been cut back to one fish, and I get it, but the back and forth attacking, not my cup of tea.
Like, I understand.
I want to get involved in that.
Right. Yeah, like, well, we don't attack here. We try to hear all sides. You know. So.
No. Well, there. Believe me, it's.
It's again, bad. I know. Like,
There's attacking going on.
Yeah,
a lot of give and take.
Keyboard cowboys, I pay no attention to. So, let me. You said about the sites, okay? During the annual survey, fisheries managers examined 22 sites located in four major striped bass spawning areas: the Chop Tank, the Nanticoke, and the Potomac Rivers, and the Upper Chesapeake Bay. Biologists visit each site three times per summer, collecting fish with two sweeps of a 100-foot beach seine net. The index represents the average number of recently hatched striped bass captured on each sample. So what happens, Lee, is the data gets fed into a computer. The computer's, you know, model extrapolates the data and gives you the final deal. You know, the computer model is a very, very good tool of modern biological study, wildlife and fisheries biological studies. Okay, so it's all speculation, because what happens if you have a bad day? with your seine net. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
You know, what happens if you decide to go on the day before or the day after a rainstorm?
Right.
You know, some of this stuff is just, you know, it's unknown, it's unpredictable, and it does factor into the end. But the trend, you go with the trend. The overall trend has been downward, 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 downward. Okay, so you can point fingers at other end users and so forth. But if you don't bring in, the food source of the baby, you know, the little fry, the little tiny hatchlings, that they're eating microscopic critters, and then the competitiveness of the other fry that are competing for the same critters, and if one species is up, like the bay anchovies and the alewives are eating the same thing that the striped bass are eating, there's intense competition there. And who gets spawned first, and who's bigger, and who's faster, and who can beat you to the feed source, and you know, what's left for striped bass.
Right. Right.
So,
well, I mean, based on the me, Mr. Non-Science, you know, me, Mr. Fisherman.
Yeah.
The numbers that were that you talked to of, you know, your class from the last, what is it, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
Everybody I've talked to has had the best season, whether it's commercial, rec, or charter, in the Chesapeake Bay. That's my home water, but they've had the best seasons they've ever had in the last couple of years. I mean, it's been phenomenal, and we're talking about the fish that are supposedly in trouble. But I don't see the problem as far as the big fish.
Right,
Alan. In my years, I've seen more big fish this past winter than I've ever seen, probably combined of all my years fishing in the upper bay in Susquehanna. I mean, it's unbelievable what's out there right now. But that's another thing. I'm totally baffled by what I'm seeing right now. Which, you know, and that's where I'm coming from, is fish. They go where the food is, but things change every year. I mean, we had a phenomenal fishery last year in the Patapsco.
Right.
As were the year before, we were doing good out on the knolls, 7-foot knoll, 9-foot knoll, Bay Bridge, you know, but every year things, you know, move around. And I appreciate learning about the what there is with the catch and release, but the base our fishery off of that, I don't think it works.
Okay.
But again, that's just one person's opinion. Me, but I'm
yeah.
Me is just one guy out there fishing.
I got it. I got it. And, well, you and I differ. You and I differ on our opinions, but you know what? You and I can have a conversation about it and not shoot at each other. You know what I mean?
No.
I can be convinced. I can have my mind changed. You know, I really can.
Yeah. Well. When you latch onto a 50-pounder and 6 foot of water off of a topwater lure, I would
do that in a heartbeat. I would love to do that.
Well, that's
you know, as long as that fish is handled properly, I would probably be willing to do that. You know,
you've seen a couple videos I've sent you, whatnot.
Oh yeah, sure.
But you know, that's what you and I are talking about, is the is educating the people of how to do this. And it's even during the warm months when the angler's done fishing in June or whatever, or fall, and you know, you're doing some catch and release. For the most part, from what I see, the anglers are doing a great job of getting the fish back into the water and doing it correctly. And a good thing, most of the people around, we're all fishing with lures and stuff, single hook
right.
lures and whatnot.
Yeah.
Primarily jigs, but it's done correctly. It's
okay.
The only way. Thank you, Alan.
Made your point. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate the photos.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
You got it. Bye bye. There goes Lee. All right. Well, cool. All right. Let's see here. I got a lot of catching up to do. 77th National Outdoor Show. That's where Robin and I will be today, along with our team of measures for the measuring for bucks, bears, stags. But it's the 77th National Outdoor Show. We're not the only thing there. I mean, there's tons of stuff to do. It's today, starts at 9 o'clock, and runs till whenever tonight. I mean, it can go till midnight with the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. 3485 Golden Hill Road, Church Creek, Maryland. That's at the South Dorchester School right there on Route 16 before you get to the crossroads or the T at the end. Admission, just $8 for adults, $4 per child. Home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. It's a weekend of fun for the whole family. Entertaining contests, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for everyone. You can savor the local seafood delicacies. I talked to a fellow who had the oyster fritter last night. He said it was good. Muskrat, cooked the old-fashioned way. If you've heard about it, don't know what it's all about, you can try it. You can enjoy the heartland of Maryland, Dorchester County. Friday and Saturday, well, that Friday was late yesterday, but today starts at 9 o'clock. See you at the 77th National Outdoor Show. For more times and details, you can visit nationaloutdoorshow.org. Yes, muskrat country. That's what I said. Traditional old school ways and yet stuck into modern technology. You'll hear a lot about that at the National Outdoor Show today. All right, let me tell you about Backyard Billy's. A lot of stuff on sale at Backyard Billy's. New stuff arriving daily, including sheds and chicken coops and dog kennels and all the stuff for the backyard, the beautiful tables and chairs and Adirondack chairs and all that, all there. But there's a lot of stuff on sale, too, particularly wood and pellet stoves. The Regency pellet inserts, you can save up to $1,200 depending on the model. And then the one wood stove, the Regency Classic, is the F2450, F2450, $500 off on the freestanding wood stove. That's for sure. But the pellet inserts, anywhere from $500 to $600 to $1,000 to $1,200 off on select models. And these are in-stock models. Okay? Traeger grills, at least $200 off on all remaining in-stock items. And these are until they last, until they're gone. Okay? We're not going to order one at this price, you know, and get you the savings. This is in-stock stuff. I mean, you understand that. That's how sales work. On the Traeger grills, they'll assemble them, and they can even deliver them if you need them to. Check out the full line of wood and pellet stoves, gas and electric as well, at Backyard Billy's. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. Installations, no problem. Visit BackyardBillys.com, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44B. That's Evans Avenue. When you're coming from the bridge in Graysonville, your backyard, your hearth, your grill, your home, your you name it, everything is good to go at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Clyde Sports Shop having their 10-day sale called Let's Go Fishing Sale. Shakespeare and St. Croix rods and reels are 10% off. All rod and reel combinations are 10% off. They will spool new line on your reels for starting at just 1.5 cents per yard, but all half price, no matter what monofilament size you want. You want to take your trolling reel in there and get it all spooled up with line, a couple hundred yards, they'll do that for half price, starting at just 1.5 cents per yard. So if it's 6 cents a yard, it's 3 cents a yard. If it's normally 8 cents a yard, you get it for 4 cents a yard. It's a great time to fill your reels, and I'm going to take some spinning reels up there and have that done this week at Clyde Sport Shop. Sale goes on from March 1st, which is Sunday, for 10 days to March 10th at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That's they're open 7 days a week. Why not stop by today and pick up some bait, and head out and do some fishing this week as the weather gets warm, and you'll be glad you did. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, that phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. We'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bed Liners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex bed liner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex bed liner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex Fleet Services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Now, Donna, you got quite the vent today. It sounds like what's going on with you.
Well, I wanted to voice my opinion on something that's been bothering me for a really long time.
Okay.
I tried writing the newspaper and contacting TV stations, but nobody seems to want to help me with this. So that's why I'm calling you guys.
Okay, what's the issue?
Well, over the past few years, I've been involved in three separate car accidents involving deer, with the population and everything. Each of these incidents, they've occurred shortly after I saw a deer crossing sign on the highway. Well, my frustration is that Minnesota and North Dakota Departments of Transportation would allow these deer crossings to be in such high traffic areas. I mean, I've even seen them on the interstate. Why are we encouraging deer to cross at the interstate? I don't get it. That's such a high traffic area. I mean,
are you kidding?
I understand that deer are wild animals and they need to travel across the streets occasionally to survive. And now, of course, to find food. But it seems to me that so irresponsible of us to allow these deer crossings to be in areas where these deer are so likely to be struck by oncoming traffic. I mean, wouldn't you agree? You think they would put deer crossings maybe, in smaller towns, maybe during a school crossing. It would be a safer place for them to cross.
Wait.
Put the deer crossing sign.
You know, deer crossings aren't telling deer that it's safe to cross there. It's just more of like an alert for drivers so they know it's like a high deer population.
The government put the deer crossings there. They can direct the deer population anywhere they want to by moving that deer crossing sign. I mean, you know, why in the world would they place it on the highway or the interstate? You know? I mean, God, there are so many other places I can think of than putting the deer crossing signs on busy highways and interstates.
You seem to be under the misunderstanding that the deer are somehow attracted to the deer crossing sign.
Well, yeah, the deer crossing sign is there to allow the deer to know that's where they need to cross.
Right. And all these car accidents you had involved a deer after you'd saw a deer crossing sign.
Exactly. I mean, I'm trying to watch out for the deer, but, I mean, speed limit's 55, 65. How am I supposed to, you know, you can't brake really quick if you, you know, if the deer just is crossing in that deer crossing area.
So you'd like to see these signs move somewhere safer?
Right. If we can move them, like, don't put deer crossing signs on the interstate or freeways. You know, put them in lower traffic areas. You know, somewhere where the speed limit's, you know, a lot slower. Uh-huh. You know, maybe small towns. I don't know. I think school crossings is a good idea.
Well, listen, we will, you say you've tried to contact quite a few people about this.
Right, yeah. I wrote, like, at least 3 or 4 letters. And
we will spread the word, okay? We will try to kind of help you raise some awareness for this issue, okay?
Oh, thank you. We need to move those deer crossing signs.
We appreciate your comment this morning.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Classic, ladies and gentlemen. We love to play that every once in a while. If you play it too often, it gets a little stale. But I think it's been a couple of years since we played that, so it's never, never not funny. Donna thinks that the state puts out the deer crossing signs to show the deer where to cross. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Thanks for all your texts this morning, your emails. We appreciate that. And we're here to take your phone calls at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. That's quite a few things in the news this week. A poor guy down in, where was it? Hold on. Doggone, I had it here just a minute ago. Yeah. Guy fishing down in Georgia thinks he's hooked into a big catfish on the Chattahoochee. Yeah. Sorry, dead body. Can't imagine. Reels in a dead body of a guy who disappeared on February 7th. Could have been a homeless guy. Coroner was making the comments that the guy must have thought he hooked a big catfish. But, they're still trying to identify the guy, but he was in the Chattahoochee. In Florida, there is legislation there for people to be able to protect themselves from bears that are endangering your pets, your family, your home, and it is being promoted by a member of the General Assembly legislature there. He said it strengthens Floridians' rights to self-defense, while opponents say that it gives permission to kill wild animals. So, it's a self-defense bill. And State Representative Jason Schoaf, he said, if I come home from work and the headlights of my vehicle shined on the front porch and a huge black bear was clawing at my front door and my kids were inside right now, you can't shoot that bear. And his bill would allow you to defend yourself against the bear. And it's called the Cocaine Bear or the Crack Bear Bill by its detractors. That say, it just gives people permission to hunt illegally. It's Senate Bill 632 in Florida, the taking of bears. It was nicknamed the Cocaine Bear Bill. If anybody has ever seen the movie Cocaine Bear, you understand the nickname. I think that if you watch that really, really, really far-fetched movie, for entertainment purposes only, there's lots of bloodshed, but the Cocaine Bear movie is very, very funny. In my opinion, it's a funny movie. It's you know, just odd. Ah, that's a couple bits of things in the news that we saw this week. So maybe there's more stuff. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you would like to, call us. Did you see the story about the state record crappie? It's all over the news. A guy had caught a big crappie. Doggone it, I don't have the name of the state right off the tip of my tongue, but the crappie weighed 3.73 pounds. Huge crappie. Huge crappie. I mean, you know, three and three-quarter pound crappie is a monster. I would love to catch one that big. But he had it weighed in and 3.73 pounds. But then he decided that he was going to take it somewhere else and add a few steel ball bearings to it and try to break the state record of 4.7 pounds. And he did, and he got some notoriety. The state crappie record has been broken with a 4.7 pound fish. And then somebody who was with the guy at the first weigh-in said, you know what, that crappie didn't quite weigh that much. You guys might want to go check that. Fish and Game went and said, hey, can we? You have your crappie available? Yeah. So they had a one of these metal-detecting wands like you see at the airport or the courthouse, and they ran a little handheld metal detector over the fish, and it went beep, 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 beep. And they said, yeah, we'd like to examine your fish. So they took the local zoo and had it x-rayed, and sure enough, there are the x-rays. You can see them on the news. Of two steel ball bearings that the guy put in there, about 5 ounces worth of steel added to the crappie after he caught it. Why cheat? Why do you have to? Why can't you just say, man, I caught a big crappie. It was 5 inches, 5 ounces short of the state record, biggest crappie I ever caught. No, Let's talk to Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. Thanks for holding on. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, sir. Ignorance knows no boundaries.
No, it does not. You're right. I like
Where
that
Where was
quote.
That phone call? Was that Minnesota?
I believe she said Minnesota, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, the state puts out the deer crossing signs to show the deer where to cross. Yeah. I don't know why they put them on the interstates. You know, they need to put them in areas where the traffic is slower. You know, so.
Yep. Alan, a couple of comments on striped bass.
Yes, sir. That was your area of expertise
well,
for 30-some years. One of them, sure.
Well,
I know.
One of them, but other people did a lot more work on it than I did. But
all right.
People don't realize, Alan, that the timing of the spawning and the weather conditions, that's the real limiting factor.
Right.
When those eggs hatch, you've got about a 10-day supply of that oil globule. They'll dissolve that for their food, and once that's gone, they've got a very short period of time on which to feed. And if they don't, if that zooplankton, Alan, isn't right in front of them, they're not going to make it.
That's true.
It's they're nothing more than two eyes and a wiggle when those eggs hatch. So
a good way to describe it.
If that food is not right there, they're not going to survive. That's why normally with striped bass you have several different peaks in spawning. Normally it's two, but sometimes it's three. I've seen it some years where you have three different groups of eggs that hatch and survive.
Okay.
And you see three different sizes of fish. So that's just nature's way of trying to ensure that it's going to be a reasonable hatch.
Okay.
The other thing too is that with striped bass, it's their spawning stock biomass, Alan, is big enough that the number of spawners really doesn't make a big difference. We've seen years gone by where we've had a low spawning stock biomass and had great reproduction. Again, it's a matter of timing what the weather conditions are. So now some species, it's just the opposite. It's a density-dependent factor where the number of spawners is critical. And that's probably a situation that we have with Cloops, Herring, and Shad. So the spawning stock is so low that the number of spawners is critical.
Okay.
But again, with striped bass, people are going to say, well, the numbers of fish are down. But, previous gentleman pointed out he's had great success the last few years with bigger fish. So the spawning stock biomass is obviously, good.
Okay. But you are not a proponent of the catch and release season
Good
yourself,
Lord,
are you?
No. We've had, you and I have had numerous discussions on that.
Okay. And we've had some here.
Yeah.
Yep, we've had some here, that's for sure. That's if you met numerous discussions.
Also goes along with the trophy season, too. I've never been an advocate of that.
Okay. All right. So despite your previous statement that it's such a large biomass that the number of fish doesn't make a difference, but the trophy season is pretty much focused on fish that have already spawned and are on their way out. Is that correct?
Most of the data that I've seen, Alan, the creel that they've done on the larger fish that are harvested, most of those fish are post-spawn.
Okay.
They do get some pre-spawn fish, but not very many.
Not very many. So we're catch and releasing the pre-spawn fish without knowing the effect of the handling of the fish effect
correct.
On the spawn, number one.
That's the critical factor.
But the trophy season where the fish are post-spawn is removing larger numbers out of the biomass that will never spawn again.
Correct.
And if they're trolling these fish up and if they're not reaching the limit, I don't know if there have been any studies on catch and release on trolled fish. But the fish I've seen, and that's my least favorite method, even though it's very effective, of catching striped bass. I quit fishing the trolling or the trophy season because of that. Okay,
yeah.
I just don't like to see those fish dragged in with their mouth open, and coming in across the top of the water and twirling on top of the water, and that type of thing. It's just not my cup of tea.
It's sickening.
So we're removing those fish. We don't know the effect of the trolling season, even if the fish, the trophy season, even if the fish is released, if it has been caught by a troller.
Correct.
Okay. Look, to each his own. If you like the trolling season, if you like the trophy season, you go fish that season. I'm in your court, if that's
sure.
what you like to do. If it's legal.
Yes.
If you're done correctly and you're happy with the results, good. Okay, if you like to chum, go do it. Enjoy it. If you like to catch those catch and release bass, I'm being converted a little by little by Lee that, this season is not as harmful as it's sometimes made out to be.
Correct.
Okay. The biggest thing is the dead discard of the summer season when the water temperatures are too high to ensure and the oxygen levels too low to ensure survivability of people who don't catch their fish and leave. Catch fish after fish after fish, stress them out in the warm water, release them. And I think Atlantic States Marine Fisheries says that the dead discard can be as high as 35%.
Yes. And, Alan, if you think about it, that's really the only one of the few controls that any management agency would have to alleviate that problem, is to regulate that so it's eliminate the season or, just to stop it.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So it's
that's our money fish. That's the fish that drives the saltwater fishing license sales here in Maryland.
And again, Alan, people have to realize that we don't have sole management jurisdiction over striped bass.
Right.
Since it's an interstate commodity, ASMSC, they will give us guidelines, and
right.
we have to follow those. We don't have any choice in the matter.
Right.
So it's, that's why, normally what the department likes to do, they like the last thing they want to curtail is effort. They want to give people as much opportunity to fish as possible. So
I like what you just said. The last thing the department wants to do is curtail effort.
Yes, they want to have people have a long season and be able to go whenever they want. But to do that, you have to eliminate other things, reduce your creel, slot limits. I mean, those are things that a lot of people don't like. But again, what would you want to deal with? You want to deal with a shorter season, less opportunity, or be able to go as much as you want, but have a little less catch.
Yeah. It's all about choice. It's all about choice. You know, as far as eating them, catching them is one thing. Eating them is another.
Yes.
Give me a white perch, snakehead, walleye, yellow perch, catfish. So, something that has more flavor and taste than a striped bass.
Well, you know what I saw down at the local fish market the other day?
No, I do not.
Bone shad.
Bone shad. Yeah, buddy, that's your deal.
I'm headed down there today to get one.
Yes, indeed, bone shad. 16 different cuts to bone a shad.
Yeah, it's an interesting process. So
I saw the video, yep.
So. Yeah. Alan, my best to the boss.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in, Uncle Dale.
All right, we'll talk at you.
Call me. Let's get you some coffee.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk. Thanks, man.
Be safe.
You too. Bye-bye. There goes Dale. Good guy. All right, let's see. Spurry's Tire Service. Yes, indeed. They're just about to open here in a few minutes, located over here on Elliott Road. Dover and Elliott is the intersection just off Route 50. That's where the locals get their tires and their auto service work done. They feature American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires. I love my Firestones, by the way. They're just wearing well. They got the Michelins and the Yokohamas and all the other brands that, you know, that they need for all the imports and so forth. But Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any make, any model, and that includes your car. And notice I said your truck. I don't care how big your truck is or what you haul with your truck, whether you're a corn hauler, whether you're a triaxle, whether you're a tractor trailer. Yeah, they've got the tires. Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard, garden tractors, farm tractors, combines, any kind of machinery on the farm, any kind of machinery in your backyard up to and including your wheelbarrow. That's right. If you own a trailer, any kind of trailer, landscape trailer, utility trailer, boat trailer, Spurry's has the tires. Any type of ATV, four-wheeler, side-by-side, Spurry's has the tires. You get the point? Spurry's offers tire repair, full-service automotive repair, including checking, diagnosing, and repairing your vehicle when that old check engine light comes on. 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurry's customers, including Robin and me and our families, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by, no appointment needed for tires or repairs, or call Spurry's Tire Service in Easton, 410-822-7384. You get a low tire signal, you get something in your tire, stop by, they'll fix it on the spot. 410-822-7384. Website is spurriestire.com. 410-822-7384. No appointment needed for tires. Spurry's Tire Service. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex spray-on truck bed liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex bed liner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tool. Have your Linex bed liner installed at Catonsville Linex just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins. 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and just for about a minute, don't forget about the sale at Backyard Billy's right there on Kent Island, backyardbillies.com. And Clyde Sports Shop, 10-day sale coming up. Start next week, March 1st, 10 days of Let's Go Fishing Sale. And don't forget, we'll be at the National Outdoor Show at the South Dorchester School today, measuring bucks, bears, stags. Great things to do there. Lots of food, lots of shopping to do if you'd like. NationalOutdoorShow.org. Don't forget the Maryland Bowhunter Society membership drive and banquet coming up March 9th at Martin's West in Security. Great time, 300 people in a room, lots of giveaways, lots of raffles, card raffles, bucket raffles, drawings, you name it, they've got it, and fantastic food. That's MarylandBowhuntersSociety.org. Hey, that's a few things to wrap it up. Get out, stay safe, give your family a hug.